and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Daniel Hall.
I'm Ben Allison. We hope this podcast is helpful for you as you engage ideas in the culture in your everyday lives so that you can help people find Jesus and also follow him.
And this podcast is based on Titus 2:11, which says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So keep that in mind as you watch today's episode, and thank you for joining us, and God bless. All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to today's podcast episode. Today marks the first one on hopefully what is a long journey through the Word of God. So I am Daniel Hall, and I'm joined by Ben Allison. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Ben.
Hey, I'm Ben. Looking forward to getting started with this and seeing what happens. If you guys end up liking this podcast, feel free to let us know that we should do some more.
Yeah, subscribe below too if you're watching on YouTube. So today's topic is going to be, what is apologetics? So to start off, apologetics simply comes from a Greek word, apologia. And so that word means to defend yourself. And it was used a lot in like a legal court system, but that's not necessarily how we're using apologetics today. So Ben, I'm just going to ask you, how do you use apologetics today, and really, what do you think it is?
Yeah, apologetics is something that hopefully we use. Well, I think people are a little nervous about that word, because it's not apologetics isn't a word that we kind of use in everyday conversation a lot of times. But my thought is that we all use it, whether we kind of realize it or not. We all try to, at least most people, try to have a thoughtful, have thoughtful thinking behind really anything that they really believe, because you want to justify and believe that what you think is really right. And so it's not this big scary thing that we have to worry about. Apologetics is just simply, like you said, defending what you believe. And so that's really what it is. How we use it a lot today is, well, hopefully as Christians in the Christian apologetic world, I think it's something that's extremely important and is really part of more than one thing. But one thing is to just build ourselves up, to build up what we know about truth, what we know about God's word, and also to be able to help other people, whether it's someone in our family, a friend, someone at work, to help remove obstacles to them being open to the gospel. And so I think those are a couple of ways that we can use apologetics today.
Absolutely. And it's really important, and a lot of people overlook the importance of it too. And I'm sure you'd agree with that. Just mm-hmm. because with the way the world is today, everybody's searching for truth, right? They want to know what the truth is. And so with that, you know, we can use apologetics, defending what we believe in, to help encourage others and inspire them to find the truth. And I think that that's really important, especially with everything that goes on in today's world, you know, from people that are confused about their faith or their identity, which happens a lot in our culture here in the United States. And it's leading people to where they can find their identity, which hopefully is in Christ. And that's really important. So, kind of expand on, like, you said that it can help, like, your friends, your family. So expand on that a little bit. How can apologetics, defending your faith, help your friends and family?
Yeah, well, has anyone ever said, "Hey, I got a book for you. I want you to read it. I heard about this book, and it sounds like exactly what you need, because you're having some thoughts, some questions, some doubts, maybe. So I really want you to read this book." Anyone ever said that to you? They have to me. And yeah. It's kind of like a general thing, like with people, right? Like you really want to help someone, but to be honest, someone gives you a book unsolicited, you know, it's probably not going to get read, right? It's just going to sit on the shelf. So there's a sense in which that's not particularly helpful. But knowing that, you know, you really care about someone, you really care for them and want the best for them. And again, in the Christian world, you know, hopefully want to lead them to the gospel. So there's a different way of doing that. And the way is that you read the book instead of giving it to someone else. You become the resource for someone through that relationship with that person that you care about, so that you can ask, so that they can ask you questions and you can provide some answers, a defense, if you will, an apologia to their doubts. And so that's one way that you can actually help someone, because as I said, a lot of times offering to give someone a book or that kind of sometimes just doesn't really work out.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, Paul writes to us that we should always be prepared to give a defense. You know, always be prepared to give a defense and to do so through truth and love. And so those are two very important things. Just like you were saying, if somebody says, oh, like I've got this book for you to read, it'd be perfect for you, right? Well, sometimes it does end up on the shelf. I've done that with several. Mm-hmm. But instead, like, being able to give an answer to those who are questioning is very important. And actually understanding what this book, the Bible, has to say about God, about our relationships, about Jesus Christ, you know, understanding what it says about those things is the groundwork or the foundation for apologetics. Because once you understand what the Bible says, then not only can you put it into practice and apply it, but you can also share it with others. And I think that that's an extremely important thing to practice, is taking what you read, not only applying it to yourself, but then sharing it with others after you apply it. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Well, it's not only it's the main thing in my mind to share with others what God has done in your life, to evangelize, to lead people to truth, to Jesus. And the verse you're referencing there is 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. So I'm actually just want to go ahead and read that.
Yeah.
for the listeners and viewers and stuff, but 1 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16, but honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. So that is the hallmark verse for defending our faith. For sure. And like you said, you want to do this with gentleness and respect. You want to do this. This is not an exercise. Apologetics is not meant to be an exercise of I can own someone, or I can, you know, like you see that's kind of the clickbait videos. And no matter what kind of, you know, person you follow, whether it's, you know, politics or whatever, you always see the titles of videos, so-and-so owns college student at, you know, Q&A or whatever. And that's not the point of this. The point is to have a relationship with someone. You can hopefully have a conversation with someone that trusts you. That person knows that you are safe to come to ask questions, to express doubt, to work through things that you don't know, whether that may be theological or what have you. So, that really is the goal.
Yeah, and I mean, Jesus actually put this into practice too.
Yes.
And we see that in one example of it. There's many, but one example is Luke chapter 10.
Yep.
In Luke chapter 10, he's talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And a lot of people think that this response from Jesus was simply just about living a lifestyle, and it has to do with that, but actually it goes one step further, in my opinion. And in Luke 10:25, there was an expert in the law, or a lawyer, your Bible might say, and he asked Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Like, that's the ultimate question that we all want to know, right? Well, Jesus says, what's written in the law? Because he knows that this guy is a lawyer. And the lawyer answered with the Shema. He said, love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said he answered correctly. Do this and you will live. You'll inherit eternal life if you do that. But then he wanted to justify himself. So the lawyer asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gave a defense and answered him, who is your neighbor? And he explained the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, the Samaritan would have been someone that the Jews despised because the Samaritan was like a half-blood, right? Mm-hmm. Simply because of the way the lineage worked. And so because of that, the Jews hated the Samaritans. And Jesus told them that the Levitical priest walked by the person on the road, right? But it was the Samaritan that saved that man. And not only did he save him, but he also bought him a hotel and told the hotel owner, hey, if anything more is needed, then put it on my tab, right? Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. And I have to imagine that that lawyer must have been pretty upset after Jesus mm-hmm. said that. But Jesus did it very truthfully and gracefully. And even so, in verse 37 there, the lawyer answered, the one who had mercy on him was the one who was the neighbor. And so Jesus said, go and do likewise. And so that's mm-hmm. what we should do too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. And you know, a lot of people, whenever we talk, we start introducing apologetics to them. You know, again, it's kind of this weird word, and people say, well, I don't need, you know, apologetics because, you know, that's, I never heard of that before. And, you know, let's just talk about Jesus and whatever. But we are talking about Jesus. This is, yeah. These are things that Jesus and his closest followers actually did. So that's from Luke chapter 10. My personal favorite of Jesus using apologetics, if you want another example, is just a few pages back in Luke chapter 7, when John the Baptist is in prison. Mm. Okay, he is yeah. the messenger to come before the Messiah. He's baptizing people. He's preaching in God's name. And boom, he gets thrown in prison. And he is having some doubts about Jesus himself. And it's like, whoa, like when you realize that this is the guy who baptized Jesus, who, you know, was proclaiming like, this is, you know, the one coming after me, whose sandals I'm not fit to untie, you know, this sort of thing. And then he's having doubts. And so what he does in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 18, but he sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus to say, are you really the Messiah? Or should we wait for someone else? Because this isn't really working out for John real, you know,
right, he's in prison. Very well. Yeah.
You know, what's going on here? You know, let's do a bust out or something. So, and does Jesus, what, you know, how does Jesus respond? He doesn't, what he doesn't say is just have more faith.
Right. Yeah.
As if that were the answer there. And maybe we'll clarify a little bit on how I'm characterizing faith there, because of course faith is a great thing, but the way it's characterized a lot of times in Christian circles is not the kind of faith that we actually see in Scripture. Yeah. This kind of, well, just believe it, even if you, in spite of the good reasons
like
to believe.
Blind
it,
faith.
Blindly.
Yeah, and that's not what we're called to have.
Exactly. Yeah. We're called to have an evidential faith, reasonable yeah. faith. And so anyways, Jesus replies to John the Baptist's followers. He says, go tell John what you're seeing around you, mm-hmm. that the blind see, the lame can walk, the deaf are now healed, and people are praising God. And so Jesus' response there is, look around at the evidence.
Yeah.
Look at the deeds that I'm doing to show of my identity. This is really important, because if Jesus's identity is not divine, if he is not the Son of God, then Jesus is just another good guy, right? But if Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, then his works testify about who he is. And so that's the report back to John. And then, you know, in the book of John, John writes all these seven signs, again, trying to show Jesus' identity, mm-hmm. is what the book of John is really all about. And so there at the end of John, and towards the end of John, chapter 20, at the very end of chapter 20, John says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written, the ones he wrote down, so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So in other words, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it says that the signs Jesus did were to proclaim that he is the Messiah so that you would believe who he is based on the evidence, not based on anything else. So this evidential faith, this apologetics, this defense, Jesus took part in it. The apostles took part of it. So this is something very important to Jesus. It should be very important to us too.
Amen. Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. And I think, what you said really hits the nail on the head there of, you know, this is what we're called to do. And this is what we want to encourage you guys to do that are listening to this podcast, that are watching on YouTube. Like, our goal is to inspire you guys to have the ability to grow in your faith and defend your faith. Because ultimately, that's one of the biggest ways you can grow in your faith is defending it, teaching others about what you believe, and having those spiritual conversations with grace and truth. Always put the grace in there with the truth. Because if you get into an arguing match, it's probably not going to get either of you anywhere. And if you don't have any truth, then there's no point. So grace and truth is the perfect combination. And it's what Jesus used, as we were talking about. And I think that that's probably the best way, in my opinion, that you can grow in your faith. I think you'd probably agree with that. So
yeah. And it's just thinking thoughtfully about what you believe, and seeking scripture to verify what is the truth that's being taught in God's word, because that's really what we're after. So this is what I tell people a lot of times is that apologetics isn't this scary thing. It's just really basic Bible study. It's what does the word say? What does that mean? And how do I apply that to today, even though that, was written at a different time, in a different place, potentially with, to different people.
Yeah.
That's what Bible study is. And that's what, when we're thinking through theological things and our beliefs, that's what apologetics really is too.
Right. And speaking of writing something to someone, on the next episode, we're going to be getting into truth and understanding what the truth is. And from Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, Luke brings up a really good point. I'm going to read it and then we'll wrap up, because I think it's a good way to lean into next time. But in Luke 1, 1, he says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." So in the next episode, we're going to dive into that and talk about truth and if truth is objective. And so with that, thank you for joining us on today's podcast episode. And we will see you in the next one.